This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharit Abdullah and you are listening to The Breakfast Grill. Anaplan is not an IT name that is familiar to most, but it is listed on the New York Stock Exchange with a market capitalization of $7 billion. Besides offering services that streamline operations and improving margins, the main selling point is a term called connected planning. So Simon Tucker is a chief planning officer of Anaplan, and he is here with us today to explain what Anaplan's leverage is in the highly competitive arena of office digitalization. So Simon, thank you so much for being here and welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you. Good morning.
Simon, a chief planning officer. So we don't hear this designation every day.
Right.
What are your responsibilities as a chief planning officer?
Yeah, thanks. So obviously, we're a cloud-based platform, and we help people to make better decisions. So we help people to connect plans and data and people across organizations to make better decisions. Now, connected planning is not really a new concept. It's been around for quite a long time. Some people would call it integrated business planning. That's one of the other things that people would call it. Up until now, I don't think there was really a technology such as Anaplan that could really connect different business functions together. If you think about the way people actually plan today, they kind of plan in silos. And they're really very disconnected from the decisions that each other have to make. And there's not really a lot of collaboration across the organization. So what Anaplan does is really connects different people and plans together on a single platform using single business data. So everyone is kind of singing from the same song sheet, if you will. What happened about, I would say about 2 years ago, there was what I describe as a kind of a step change in business, in the sense that a lot of our customers and prospects came to us and said, okay, we think we're ready for connected planning. I think one of the reasons for that is because if you think about, and you're kind of seeing it in spades today, the way that the global, the turmoil, if you will, is going, right? Brexit, you've got the trade war between China and the US, et cetera, et cetera. Customers came and said, look, we need to make decisions a lot quicker, a lot faster, collaborate, and really, reduce the time from analyzing a situation to making the decision to zero.
So chief planning officer actually is coined based on a product rather than an operation or a function of Anaplan instead.
Well, yes and no. So here's where the step change came into play. What we realized and what our customers were telling us was, whilst we wanted everyone to connect plans across the organization, there actually wasn't one executive in the organization that dealt with planning and decision-making across the organization. So we said, okay, you know, what we think is that we think it's time to have a new role on the executive leadership team, and we decided to coin that chief planning officer. And so Frank Calderoni and myself, the CEO, decided, you know what, let's put a stake in the ground, let's have our own chief planning officer. And so part of my role is to go around the globe talking to senior executives about connected planning, but also about putting onto their executive leadership teams a brand new role, someone that's responsible for that decision-making across the organization. So very much more of a holistic viewpoint when it comes to decision-making in the organization.
Okay, so earlier you mentioned connected planning, and that's part of your portfolio, and that's a term that's been coined by Anaplan. And again, it's not new. It's not a new term, in fact. And so could you, you know, just elaborate a little bit more on, on connected planning for the listeners. And why is it so important for companies to engage in it?
Yeah. So what we find today and what our customers tell us and what our prospective customers tell us is they're sort of in this chaotic situation in their organizations. And here's what I mean by that. Think about the way that a technology stack works in a company. You have a whole bunch of transaction systems that really serve different business functions. So, for example, a CRM system will serve sales, some sort of marketing automation system will do marketing, and the ERP will be in finance, et cetera, et cetera. These are transaction systems at the bottom of the business that kind of record what's happening in the business. But they're not really agile. They're very fixed. They're relatively brittle. They're just recording the transactions. At the top of the organization, you've got where people report or do business intelligence. And these are kind of fixed reporting, the sort of the weekly, the monthly reports that come out to the leadership team, et cetera. And then what you've got in the middle of the organization is what I describe as chaos. And that chaos is really where actual decisions are done on a day-to-day basis, where people, feet on the street, are having to change the course of their business, make different decisions. And unfortunately, there's not a lot that serves that chaotic layer. And that's where Anaplan comes into play. Today, people are using spreadsheets to do that planning. Spreadsheets, point solutions, access databases, whatever it might be, they're using disconnected systems. And so what happens is you add an entire layer of latency into a decision-making process that should actually be quicker, given the fact that we've got more market volatility, more competition, more data, more globalization, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where our platform comes in and says, let's take all these disparate decision-making processes and systems and put them onto the Anaplan platform.
So you're providing a solution within that chaotic area of an organization. Yeah. So what kind of margin improvement can your software offer as a result of utilizing your software?
So let me tell you what value a lot of our customers are getting, right? So some of the areas that businesses are really trying to look at today is where can I get more efficiencies? Where can I get better efficiencies, for example, in my supply chain? A lot of businesses, if they're very large, for example, can't just grow the top line. It's very difficult if you're a very large business to grow at 20, 30%. So you're looking for more efficiencies. So where they're looking for efficiencies are things like supply chain. So how can I take excess inventory out of my supply chain, for example, and you're going to get great value and margin improvements by actually bringing excess inventory out of the supply chain. Another area they get margin improvement is, for example, in sales efficiencies. So making sure that you allocate quota and territory to sales reps in the right areas, you know, with the right products, et cetera, et cetera. Being very careful of the commissions you pay out and making sure you're not costing yourself too much money on the back end. And again, that's a margin improvement.
Okay, so when you still haven't given me a figure, I mean, do you have a ballpark figure? You have a large number of companies who are your customers. Mm-hmm. Now, based on the implementation of your software, what sort of ballpark figure margin are we speaking about as a result of using your software?
Well, many of our customers don't publish publicly or don't allow us to publicly tell what margin they get.
But specifying a ballpark figure, an average figure, is that something that you're able to share with us?
I mean, really, it's so different depending on the use case in the industry. It would be very difficult for me to give you a figure across all businesses. And different people get different value depending on the use case that they have. So it would be very difficult to give you a kind of a ballpark figure.
Okay, so let's move on and let's talk about your technology. Now, can you explain the proprietary engine behind your company's services now, which is this technology I'm speaking about is the Hyperblock technology.
Yes,
now,
yes.
How is it different from your competitors?
Okay, so we have a technology, we call it a fused technology, and the basis is what we call Hyperblock, which is one of the patents we have for the solution. And what Hyperblock does is it really fuses three things together. It fuses a database together, a proprietary database that's based on a concept called DAG, Directed Acyclical Graph, which is a very well-known computational technique that our founding father, Michael Gord, really took to the next level. And he was a mathematician by trade. So he's very good at these computational techniques. So number one is the database that ensures that things can really scale. So we have customers with multi-billion cell models, the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of spreadsheets, if you will. So that's the first thing. The second thing is around the engine, so the computational engine, which is fused together with the database. And the juxtaposition, in other words, the way the competition does it, is they have separate engines, separate databases that aren't optimized to work together. So we fuse them together, and it was really purpose-built. And the third area is the Hyperblock. And where the Hyperblock comes in is as an Anaplan model is being built, we're actually tracking the precedence and dependence of calculations. So if you imagine a massive, you know, say a 15 billion cell model, which is completely in memory. So one of the other things we do is we actually put everything in memory, which is the fastest, other than cache, the fastest way to actually access information across the web. And then what happens is that those inputs or the changes to models are instantaneously done in complete real time. So there's no batch processes that need to happen in the background. You've got a model with thousands of, potentially thousands of people, billions of cells, people doing planning and seeing the real time results across their organization on that single platform. So that Fuse technology is one of our advantages.
Okay, so how different is this technology in comparison to what is more commonly understood out there, like blockchain technology?
So blockchain is kind of a different type of technology. I'll tell you how it's different from maybe traditional databases, for example. So planning in itself, and planning and analysis is really a multidimensional, you really need a multidimensional solution. Traditional databases are kind of two-dimensional. They're very column and row type thing. Planning and analytics needs to be very multidimensional. So we take sort of the concepts of an, if you think about taking the flexibility of a spreadsheet, which everyone knows and loves, so stick with that kind of paradigm, right? Add to that the sophistication of an OLAP engine or the ability to slice and dice and analyze on the fly, and add to that the scalability of an ERP solution, okay, but in a proprietary purpose-built application or platform, that's Anaplan.
So, I mean, we, as someone from the street, we've been bombarded with so many different buzz terms. I mean, the ones that we're familiar with are like artificial intelligence, big data, all those words have been thrown to us. And now, for your company, you're introducing new terms. For example, hyperblock technology and connected planning. Is that your way of trying to gain leverage amongst your competitors?
Well, yes and no. So here's what we like to do. I completely agree. There are so many buzz terms. What we try and do is we try and simplify the complex. Okay. So the idea is that, yes, we've got Hyperblock and a whole bunch of different things that we talk to our customers about. At the end of the day, it's about how can you allow customers very easily, business users very easily, to model the business they know, okay, in a solution that is scalable, gives you the ability to analyze, gives you the ability to collaborate. So we take that complexity away from people. Now, of course, we have to tell people, what does that mean? What have we got that other people haven't got?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's down to brass tacks. It's down to you want people to collaborate, business people, without being super technical. So we take the technical aspects away from people. We don't ask people to learn code or anything like that, SQL or anything like that. It's a very simple drag and drop, point and click, plain English type of situation. But we try and actually simplify things as opposed to bombard people with technology buzzwords. That's really what we're trying to do.
Just hold on there for a while, Simon. So joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Simon Tucker, Chief Planning Officer of Anaplan. We will be right back with more discussion on Anaplan's financials. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned into BFM 89.9 on The Breakfast Grill. This morning is Simon Tucker, the Chief Planning Officer of Anaplan. And now let's talk about your market capitalization. So you were listed in October 2018 and it ended up with a bang. We're talking about your share price jumping about 43%, giving your market capitalization of about $3 billion. Your market cap right now is more than double of that. Do you think that the market and your competitors underestimated you?
Maybe. I'll tell you what we focus on. We don't focus on that, honestly. What we honestly, what we focus on is giving customers, our customers, value and making sure that they can have a connected planning platform that can make them more agile in the marketplace. That is truly what we focus on. And of course, the trappings of that are, you know, bigger market valuation, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I think we have leapfrogged the competition quite significantly. We don't rest on our laurels. So we're constantly innovating and we obviously have a lot of investment in research and development, et cetera, et cetera. But our focus really is we have a customer first focus within the company. And our focus is to make our customers successful in the knowledge that obviously that's going to make us successful. So that's really our focus.
Yeah, it shows in your growth as well.
And, yeah, exactly.
And so, okay, but there are concerns that your valuation is too high. Now, I mean, your enterprise value to sales ratio is about 19 times and that Anaplan's current share price indefensible. What do you have to say about that?
Well, probably it's not for me to comment on whether or not we think the share price is high or low. Again, I'm going to bring it back to what our focus of our attention is, which is honestly making our customers successful. And I think that really is what we're going to do, continue to do that, have a customer first mentality and DNA within the company. And I think, of course, there's going to be all sorts of different speculation out there as to whether or not the company's got the right valuation or not. Our focus is truly on customer first.
Okay, and all that is going to cost you a lot of money in the sense of your operation. So let's get down into your financials. Now, your revenue has been increasing over the years, but at the same time, so are your losses. They're getting bigger. So for the year 2019, at the moment, you've made a loss of 131 million of a revenue of 240 million US dollars. Now, how is this sustainable?
Well, you have to remember, as a growing company, you have to invest heavily, which means that obviously that investment means you're not going to be profitable for a certain period of time. So what we're doing right now is investing heavily in different areas, research and development, as I talked about, different regions, different markets that we're getting into. And that takes heavy investment. And once that investment pays off, then obviously profitability will come along. But it's not uncommon for companies like us who are grabbing the market share that we know is out there, you know, potentially $21 billion dollar market share, for us to invest heavily in that in order to leverage and grab that market share and then, of course, go on a trajectory.
Do you have a timeline as to when you're going to turn a profit?
We do not yet. No.
Okay.
Still investing at the moment.
Right. Recently, you've seen more turnover, you know, especially within your executive team, and we've seen the departure of Chief Revenue Officer. Is it, how difficult and challenging is it, you know, for a CRO, considering, you know, looking at, you know, the focus being on growth?
Well, I wouldn't say it's difficult. I would say it's exciting and challenging.
Yeah.
And there's lots of opportunities out there. Mm-hmm. As you grow as an organization, you know, as you get bigger as an organization and you grow, you go into certain different areas of maturity, levels of maturity. What that means is, you know, the executive team you had right at the beginning, the executive team you had sort of in the middle of the journey has to be different than the executive team where you're growing to, you know, a multi-billion dollar company.
Right.
So this turnover is really kind of expected. It's one of those things that you do as you grow as an organization. Hmm. I'd actually argue that a lot of companies that stay stagnant don't really move forward. So we're very progressive. Change is one of the things that is one of our internal buzzwords. Because as you grow as an organization, you have to change and you have to make changes all over the organization, including the executive leadership team. So to us, it's a very natural evolution of the company's performance.
Okay, so let's dive into, again, your operation. So you're saying that this is just a natural part of growth, making losses. However, you are bleeding at the moment, especially looking at the numbers. Where are these losses coming from?
Well, again, we're making, I think you don't need to focus too much on the losses per se. Mm. I think you need to focus on the investments we're making to grab the market share. That's the thing. So where we're making those investments are particularly in the field. So customer success, sales. So making our customers successful, making our partners successful. And obviously the field sales, so we can go into different territories and different areas. And then research and development. Those are kind of the areas that we're actually investing in.
And there's no sense that you think that Anaplan is expanding a little too fast?
Not right now. No, I mean, you know, our success, I think, is telling us that we're making the right moves.
Okay, let's talk about where your revenues are coming from. So about 43% of your revenue is outside of the United States, and that's last year. Which geographical region is in your expansion plans at the moment, since you spoke a lot about that? And where is Asia Pacific in that?
So obviously, we don't necessarily break down the different regions, but honestly, all three areas, the different areas, Asia, EMEA, and obviously North America, are growing tremendously for us, and we have a focus in each of those different regions. And of course, Asia is one of the most up-and-coming regions, but it's as growing as fast as the other regions as well. So we have a focus on all three of those different regions.
Okay, so your clients, a lot of them are from the global 2,000 companies, and large as well as well known across the world.
Right.
Has it ever come across that your product is, you know, an elitist product?
No, we certainly don't feel that. And yes, our focus is the global 2,000. Mm. That's not to say we don't have small and medium-sized businesses. We do. Just our focus as a go-to-market has been on the Global 2000, but no, we don't. We definitely don't think there's anything elitist at all.
So, can smaller firms benefit using your product?
Yes, of course they can. Yeah, absolutely. They'll get the same sort of return on the investment. Obviously, the bigger the company, the more complex the problems, and the more scale, then you'll see more return on investment. But certainly, small businesses can benefit from the platform too.
When you say small, could you elaborate? How much of a headcount would I need before I could see economies of scale from subscribing to your product?
Well, I don't think you can put a stake in the ground and say what headcount. I mean, there's lots of different metrics that people will use. Headcount, revenue would be another one. I think obviously a tiny company is probably not going to, you know, benefit from it.
It is very unlikely. The mom and pop shop that they could
do would probably be too over the top for that sort of thing, I would honestly say. But once you start getting into, 100, 200 employees, something like that, sure, Anaplan would definitely benefit you, yeah.
Let's talk about your product per se now. It's subscription-based. And what kind of fee structure is your subscription based on? Now, is it the number of users or is it based on functionality?
No, it's based on, we have three editions, basically. Mm. So you can choose what your edition is. And you can enjoy different features as you go through to the sort of enterprise level, if you will. But those features are kind of really mainstream. Things like bring your own key, for example, is offered in our enterprise solution. But generally speaking, it's based on user pricing. You buy an edition, and then really what happens is you get all the functionality of Anaplan, other than things like a bring your own key. But you get a different user space, basically, as you go through the editions.
Okay. So, Simon, one last question before we end our interview here. You're in a very competitive space, and Anaplan has spent a lot on their research and development, from 59% in 2019. Is this how much you need to invest for you to be able to stay ahead of your competitors like Workday, SAP, as well as Oracle?
Well, you know what? It changes. At the end of the day, we have to invest the right amount of money depending on the requirements of our customers. So again, I'm going to go back to very customer first approach, and our investment is going to be absolutely in line with the customer first approach, making our customers successful. If we need to make additional investments because of machine learning or some other capability, for example, comes through, then that spend's going to change. But it's always going to be in line with customer first and allowing our customers to make better decisions across their organization with Connected Planning.
So all this money for research and development, how do you intend to build a moat around your business model?
Well, that moat is the innovation I talked about. So, again, we don't rest on our laurels when it comes to innovation.
Sure.
We believe we have a leapfrog right now, but we definitely don't think we need to rest on our laurels and not keep innovating, which you're kind of seeing with some of the acquisitions and other things that we're doing, and also some of the technology partnerships we're making. And that's really how we're building the moat. A healthy paranoia around competition is what we do internally. And we always want to maintain that to make sure that we do maintain that moat, as you say.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see your medical benefit as well as a result of that.
Exactly.
Simon, thank you so much for speaking to us on The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
I've been speaking to Simon Tucker, the Chief Planning Officer of Anaplan. You have been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharitz Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.